Guess what? You're running on my time. That's right. It's time for you to realize that you got your own consciousness awakening happening right now. We're suspecting it. You didn't think it would come to you over these mediums. Yes, it's me, Sean Kennedy, fucking man, telling you right now at this very moment, this is the big signal. You know that big alert that you've been waiting for? You know that one that's supposed to be coming down the pipe for a while now? That big alert that's supposed to be alerting you, saying, hey, guess what? Now is the moment. Now is the time. We are going to rise up and everything's going to get sorted out. And don't freak out because everything's going to be okay. Well, the time is, in fact, now. I am here to tell you that the time is now for you to realize, holy shit, everything is very fucked up. Things are so fucked up, I cannot possibly be part of this system any longer. I cannot possibly allow myself to complete the actions that is making the world continue on the path it currently is. We've got nuclear bombs all over America, apparently. People are saying that the Canadians are terrorists. The Canadians, for Christ's sakes. We don't even have a fucking army up here. What are you, joking? I mean, they're good guys, don't get me wrong, but they're a little bit outgunned on the world stage, if you get my meaning here. Okay? Now, the whole point is that we need to stop what's going on. And the only way we're going to be able to do that is to suck back and say, whoa, whoa, what the fuck is going on? And the way you've got to do that is to start immersing yourself in the media of the counterculture. Once you begin immersing yourself in the media of the counterculture, all the free media that is circulated out there, win, lose, or draw, you will come out of it further ahead because we are encouraging you to be an individual. So listen up!
American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school. Dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Monday, August 1st, 2005. And that means it's the beginning of the week. Are you all ready for the... You got to catch the Monday?
I'm waiting for hump day, Sean,
are you waiting for hump day, in fact?
Wednesday, my favorite day of the week. When do you announce it's hump day?
Every day I announce it's hump day. But today is not Wednesday. Today is Monday. And this is Newsreel, your daily report as the woke counterculture defeats the evil of core political tyranny. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today by saying hump day. And just by listening and using the term hump day, you are too. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. You can get to my live journal currently by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. But soon, that will be changing as things are afoot in the Rant Media servers. And we're not too sure where that foot came from, but we're going to find out. This is a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Radio306.com, OspreyRadio.info, and that's spelt like the bird, and Extreme Radio Tampa. And you yourself are free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit, including the best way to do it is if you happen to be listening to another internet radio station, like say you listen to a lot of Digitally Imported, or you listen to some other station that has talk, then perhaps, I don't know, there's talk, you know,
there?
Digitally Imported,
okay.
Somewhere. Sometimes there's
sometimes,
quotes.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they want to carry it.
They
maybe
could. It is cool.
It is a cool show.
Yeah.
Digitally Imported's cool. I mean,
that's
they
right.
want to carry it. I mean, whatever.
Cool plus cool equals cool.
Yeah, you know, and if you don't listen to Digitally Imported, you listen to any of the millions of other totally free shoutcast server radio stations that
yes.
ultimately kick ass.
Or even not shoutcast stations.
Or not, yeah, I guess there's even more than that now. So
yeah.
if you in any way want to broadcast this audio program or know somebody who might want to, please email them to email Sim. And you can get Sim at info@rantradio.com and he will be able to set it up so that they too can spread the virus that is Newsreel.
Indeed.
It's August 1st. Holy crap. That means
a new month.
That means it's only 12 days to my wife's birthday.
Uh-oh.
And my wife can kick my ass. So I have to be very, very careful because, you know, it's the 12th. Well, the 12th is her birthday, right?
Okay.
Leo, right? I'm a bug. What are you? What's your birthday?
I'm scales.
Are you scales?
Yes.
What is that, Virgo?
No, it's
what
Libra.
Libra?
Libra, the scales.
Yeah, what's your birthday? Your birthday's coming up pretty quick, too. September?
No, October 3rd.
October 3rd,
same,
right?
Same month as
same
yours,
same
yeah.
Same month as me. I'm the 23rd. He's the 3rd.
20 days apart.
The dark one is the 12th. And, you know, birthday presents for the dark one are to be sent by the 12th.
That's right. So it mark is, those on your calendar.
Yeah, the dark one's birthday is on the 12th. Now, I don't know what to get my wife. I have no idea what to get my wife, which is funny because I've given her everything. already. Like, she's got it all. She's got the rings.
She's got
the watches.
Yeah.
She's got the knife. She's got the flashlight. She's got the cool cameras. She's got it all. You know,
that's
really
tough then, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah. You know, you're coming up on 6 years of marriage, and of course, you know, there's lots of events to give her stuff, and lots of times I screw up. So you got to, you know, kind of patch it up. And roses are good, but you never give roses a gift. You give roses for no reason, right? That's the big trick.
That's right, yeah.
So I don't know what to do.
Are you asking for suggestions?
Yeah, sure. Sure. Throw it out. Maybe if there's something. We like to keep it, you know, fairly inexpensive because, you know, the old Seanster here. I'm not getting a whole Jimmy Whack of money coming down the pipe, but, you know, what can you do?
That's right.
So that's something to think about. It's on a personal front. How's your week been?
Pretty good.
So far last week was okay?
Yeah. Yeah. No more sunburns.
Check this out. This is temporal shifting. How was your weekend?
Not quite over, but, it's Monday.
It's Monday, right.
Oh, that's crazy.
That's right.
Well,
yeah,
we did some filming for patrolling.
And we got some good
stuff. And that's almost ready. It looks good for the end of August, around August, for
insane?
Release.
Are you actually going to try to release it by the end of August?
I'm going to try, because I said by the end of summer, and August is summer. So
September is summer.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Another month. End of September, then.
Yeah, I predict that it will not be out till the end of September.
I'm going to try, though.
Yeah, he's going to try, but I predict that it's not going to be out till the end of September. If he does it, he proves me wrong, and
that's
he's a better
right.
man than I.
Well, and I'm going to be working. I'm pretending it's still Saturday right now. I'm going to be working on this weekend because it's a long weekend.
That's right.
In Canada.
I don't know
the rest of the world, but I think it is there as well.
What's the reason for this long weekend? What is it?
Don't know.
Is it Dead Guy Day or something?
It could be some Dead Guy Day.
Some Dead Christian thing?
I'm going to work on the patrolling DVDs and hopefully get those 95% done.
Work, you pig slave dog. You. Yes, of course.
All the outtakes and funny stuff like that.
How many hours do you think you put into that on an average weekend? Never mind the week, just the weekend.
On the weekend, if I don't go out, it's all day.
Well, of course, when you go out.
When I rise to when I go to sleep.
We film all day.
So that's still work.
Yeah, that's true.
So when I wake up to when I go to sleep. I wake up usually on the weekends around noon and go to bed around 3.
That's pretty weak.
15 hours?
Noon to 3, that's 7 and 2. You sleep 9 hours.
Oh.
You sleep 9 hours on the weekends. Slack! Slack! I hereby call you slack and bone fucking idle.
It's the weekends.
Bone fucking idle.
I sleep 6 hours on the weekday. 5 or 6 hours on the weekdays, so there you go.
I only sleep 6 hours a night. Yes, it's true. This is what happens when you, too, can become obsessive compulsive.
That's right.
Let's get into some feedback before we totally destroy our own psyches. Dear Sean K. Bracket TFM. On bracket. I've been listening to the show, and you mentioned the 666 virus quite a bit. Well, actually, I've been following it, trying to follow it up. But anyway, understandably, this reminds you of Snow Crash, which would be a very fucking scary concept I've ever realized. So here's the breakdown of the reality of the 666 virus versus the theory. As for the parameters, U.S. Army War College Quarterly, Spring 1998, PP pages 84 to 92. Wow, he's even giving me footnotes.
Wow.
In which the official mention exists, it is important to note a couple of interesting things. For one, in 1998, the average computer used a cathode ray tube monitor and a lower refresh rate.
Very true.
Today's video cards and monitors are so wide ranging in their design that such a virus would only be possible if it was tailor made per computer. Otherwise, each possible configuration for video graphics accelerator would have its own subroutine. The size of such a comprehensive virus would be suspect, to say the least. More importantly, modern monitors are often liquid crystal, a completely different principle than projection monitors of the past. And incidentally, there was a virus you could get on the old monochrome monitors,
yes,
where you could focus all the guns to one point on the monitor and the monitor stood a chance of exploding.
Yes, I've heard of that.
Yes, that's back in the day, though.
Way back.
But where did this mystery virus come from? There's merit in checking the original article's footnotes. Who is this Dr. Stolenev? The footnote for this part of the article, number 8, reads as follows. Victor I. Stolenev's Information War and Some Aspects of Computer Operators Defense. Talk given at InfoWar Conference in Washington, D.C., September 1996. Sponsored by the National Computer Security Association. Information in this section is based on notes from Dr. Stolenev's talk. Now ask yourself, was there an InfoWar conference sponsored by the NCSA? If so, then the threat we should be wary of is not the onset of some hypothetical virus, but the very real threat that some of the United States government's most elite computer theorists are collaborating on creating models in which neurological defenses could be exploited. Which again brings us back to that article, which was The Mind Has No Firewall, where they're all sitting around going, how can we fuck over people's heads? As a closing thought, Stolenev's work brings to mind the 25th frame could be introduced to the optic nerve. If the pulsation, intensity, and color are necessary to complete with the process, then the solution is really, really simple. Wear polarized lenses when you use the computer. Fuck yeah! That's why you need to wear mirrored sunglasses when you're surfing online. Get UV-400 polarized lenses with light-sensitive lenses. These lenses contract when pulses of light are shot into them. I don't know enough about optics to go further, but it would seem that your open port is visual. schedule. And the first step is preventing your optics from being compromised. It would be to secure your optic nerve. The more you have between you and your screen, your eyes, the better. Just
optic,
a thought.
Optic firewall.
Well, isn't that exactly what I did in patrolling season one when
exactly.
I was talking about using sunglasses? So isn't it nice? Alien Binary sent that in. And very well written, by the way, Alien Binary. There ought to be a rule against people writing better than I do. But honestly, honest to God, you know, like, that's why I was talking about building up a, what did I call it in the show? I can't remember what you said. But it was using, I'm sure that will get posted on the live journal, but it was using, you know, headphones and sunglasses.
To block out media influences, and this could be extended to.
You betcha.
Mind hacks.
You betcha, and that's exactly what they're going to be doing.
You're ahead of your time.
Stay alert, stay alive. Dear Sean, now this is about Mobile Digit's email he sent to me, which I was saying how, you know, people were talking about anarchy and response and all this kind of jazz, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
I do agree with your response to his mail, which is essentially that anarchy is a bad idea. A land without government structure falls much too easily into anarchy, violence, and general stupidity. A people must have a leader. Saving grace of the American government structure is that one generally has the choice of the leader they follow, in theory. I forget the author, but someone once wrote, democracy will have failed the moment people figure out how to delegate themselves rich. Mind you, they're wrong, but they're on the right track. This brings us to issues like affirmative action and what have you. In short, people are generally, in my eyes, greedy.
True.
It's a small minority of the people who actually take the time to educate themselves, their children, etc., against the fucked up things out there. I was a lucky one. I was reared into it quite early on. However, I'm one of very small few who fights against the rights to sue for bad coffee and shit like that. People raise their children to be spoiled these days. People raise their children to fuck up another generation of decent people these days. That's why people need leaders, so they can be kept under at least a sense-driven amount of control. Sadly, when these spoiled fuckhead children get into the White House, we suddenly see the spoiled, the uneducated, and the unfairly favored getting even more rights and favor. I don't want to sound like every old 80s film out there, but children are the future of everything. Why? Because they can be taught, as the Christian church has been proving all these years. They can be brainwashed. Brainwash the children the right way, and we can make a difference. The problem is, I don't think Rant Radio plays in a lot of nurseries. Man, wouldn't that be interesting for the first words coming out of little Johnny's mouth?
Yes.
Dear Sean, you talk a lot about blogs, so I thought I'd tell you about it from a high school student's point of view, which is very cool. I did not know this. I never really thought of what the influence of blogs would be in high school.
Very
because
true.
Very political, you know, environment.
Yeah, they
there.
Crack down on things like this.
You betcha. School. You betcha. In my school, I don't know anyone who does not have a Zanga.com blog.
Never heard of it.
Never heard of it either. Or at least no one comes to mind. And it is the cool and fashionable thing to do. A lot of high school students use blogs as a pretext to dating.
Oh.
Creepy.
I guess
seeing the journal of someone of the opposite sex is somewhat like a resume. Now, this is very scary. No, it's true, though.
Yeah.
Because it's like notes, passing notes back and forth. Yeah. We used to pass notes in class, right?
That's true.
So, you know, you get a girl. Due to the fact that the kids get into blogs for fun and not just to talk about important issues, at least in my mind, they would be insanely hard or impossible to stop. Now, the thing is that if people can figure out that, you know, your blog is your resume on your life, that's really scary. I'd like your blogs just remain free and fun, but there's a lot of talk going on that blogs could affect your employment career. You know what I mean? There's people who've been fired over their blogs.
Yeah.
There's people who've probably been beat up and shit kicked over their blogs. I mean, it's a pretty interesting...
You're exposing your... whatever you type to the world.
Yeah, I'm weird like that. I expose like everything to the world. I like expose my whole life pretty much. And I'm not really worried about it. I don't know why that is. I guess I don't.
You tell the truth.
No, I tell the truth and I'm not afraid of much. You know,
yeah,
I mean, really.
Who's going to strike you down?
I guess I've got a few secrets, though. I mean, there's certain private things that you hold on to. Like, I'm sure nobody's really interested in, you know, my own sexual history or anything like that. Like, who would care?
Yeah.
You know,
so you wouldn't type that.
Yeah,
right?
Because that's just trash. Like, who gives a shit? You know, I'm not perfect. I'm sure I've got all kinds of bad, nasty things that I've done and will probably do again. You know, somebody say, like, Sean, you made a bad call. Well, yeah, that's all part of being fucking human. The problem is when people try to be more than human and they stand up and they're like, oh, yeah, no, we're all, you know, I'm infallible.
Yeah, that results in being wishy-washy all the time and never taking a stand on anything.
Exactly. And then when they get found out, oh my God.
He made a mistake.
Vilify that son of a bitch. Kill Dan Rather. Shoot, you know, Slick Willie. I mean, it's just stupid.
Yeah.
Anyway, dear Sean Kennedy, heard you talking about the MP3 and closed CD with Bloodstained. It deeply saddens me to hear you say you're not going to do that again. And it surprises me that you let some whiny fucks change your mind about something like that. I only listen to a small portion of the MP3s, but I'm distributing them, and the results are positive so far. Here's the deal. You're not a professional book reader, and you don't have professional equipment or training. What results is awesome, considering the circumstances. To me, sitting down and hearing you tell us a story is cool.
Aww.
You've already expressed your dissatisfaction with Bloodstained, and honestly, it falls short as a novel. But, as a screenplay, it's genius. Really, how many movies have you seen where half a school that would be for a movie? dude. I would pay a lot to see something like that for a movie or a video game. Imagine it. Damn, a video game. That would be sweet. Like Doom meets Soldier of Fortune. I actually have a video game concept, which I'm not going to discuss on the air, because I'm sure it will be gone instantly. And
that's
I watched a movie the other night that came dangerously close to being to being the Bloodstained Rabbit. Yeah, very dangerous close. It was all filmed in BC and everything.
Oh, really?
And there was like a mine shaft. It was like, yeah, there's a lot of fucked up shit. I'm like, if you were to watch the movie and see it, what was the name of the movie? It's called In the Dark, Alone in the Dark, or something like that. It's very, very fucked up. And it seems like a ripoff of Bloodstained.
Was it recently made?
Yeah, it was filmed here in Langley. Yeah. I saw them filming it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was fucked up. But, you know, whatever. I'm like, whatever.
They all went hush when you walked by. Oh, there's that guy.
No, because if I ever found out for sure that somebody actually ripped off my book and, like, made a lot of money and I didn't make anything and they made a whole ton.
No credit.
I was never penned or nothing like that, I'd go crazy.
And then,
I'd fall off the radar and we'd be able to make a new movie. Dear Sean, that was from Melican, by the way. So, no worries. I just, you know, to be honest with you, reading out the spoken word CD is a disgusting amount of work. You know, to be honest with you, and I would rather spend my time, rather than putting on another spoken word CD for a book which was never designed to be read out loud in the first place, I would rather put that time into focusing on Tales from the After Now. So I've only got
other areas of Africa.
Yeah, if you want me to tell you stories, that's fine. I won't tell you a story you can read. I'll tell you a fresh story that you won't be able to like get anywhere
that's
else.
Meant to be read out.
Yeah,
like After Now. Yeah.
And let me know. Does anybody out there want me to do anything with the Sad Sack Season 3 of Tales from the After Now? Because if you'd like to see that go any further, if nobody gives a fuck, that's fine. But I'd like to know if anybody out there actually gave a shit about that episode or that particular season. Moving right along. Hi, Sean. After listening to you talk about corporate control in Iraq, I thought I would tell you my opinion of the future. Since the end of the Cold War, capitalism in America and elsewhere has gone overboard. The military, in the UK at least, is already subcontracting a lot of its maintenance and support. They're considering leasing the air-to-air refueling aircraft from the BAE Systems. I don't know how long it'll be before we see squadrons of combat aircraft owned and operated by BAE or Lockheed Martin. It is conceivable that we could see regiments of infantry being employed not by a government, but by a corporation, which would contract out their services to the governments. Well, yeah, that's what I'm hoping. You know, I mean, absolutely. I work for a security company. Sure.
Right.
I'd like to have a job where I get a, you know, shock armor and stuff like that. The only problem is I've seen my fellow security guards and I don't want them having guns and shock armor because a lot of them are really sad.
Uh-huh.
I believe America is in effect leaderless. And by this, I mean Bush is a puppet of the Uber Corps and the Uber Corps are a puppet of the shareholders. And the main shareholders are a bunch of corporations which are puppets of the shareholders. The cycle goes on. The ruler of America and many other countries, mine included, is money. And my logic is probably fucked, but that's how I see things. No, you're totally not fucked at all. Follow the money.
That's right on.
Yeah, and that's from the Sad Mafioso.
He did follow the money there.
Yeah, you do, and if you do follow the money, that's what it is. Yeah, absolutely. Money is the god of our times, and there's no denying it. And I make this point in one of my books
that's who people obey, the money.
People will follow the cash, but that's because of the value they place on it. If suddenly money had no value, or there was something that was more valuable than money, like water, or say clean air, or say what else would be more valuable than money? Free form thought, education, all these things they're really trying to regulate right now. That's the kind of shit you want to watch out for.
That's right.
Dear Sean, I'm going to get my ass chewed out on this one. You have it all wrong on the Brazilian hacker, which he was next to earning money with working on electronics. So this guy was a Brazilian hacker in London. This dude got shot.
Okay.
As you understand, when you live very close to London, which I do here in the Netherlands, news about this is a little less scrambled than the way you must have received it. We get a lot of witness reports from when it had just happened on radio as well as TV. I cherish those because witnesses you can trust more, especially when they look / sound smart, relaxed, and honest. All you need is a judge of character. Now, that statement there, witness testimony is by far the most fallible. But regardless, let's carry on. First, and this is important, he did not carry a backpack or rucksack at all, according to the testimony.
Really?
He did not have a thick winter coat or on. He was wearing a somewhat padded fleece jacket. He was poor, only had one coat, and it wasn't hot. Don't let the mainstream media give this all a totally false turn, please. Meaning, don't let the media spin it to me the wrong way or all the rest of it. It was not clear that he had no visum until after he was shot. Whatever visum is, I don't know.
I don't know what that is. Yeah.
Again, don't get lied to, please. It could be a reason why he would run a little faster, but to be honest, I personally don't buy he was an illegal story. It appeared days after the actual story from right-wing controlled news channels defending the war against terror. He was not called to stop by any of the uninformed cops. I still don't know that these were cops or they're MI5 or Black Ops. Well, they're government employed people working as police or whatever. His only fault was to use the wrong door when leaving an apartment building that was already under surveillance. These three heavy, pretty scared, cold-looking guys, according to one witness, tailed him for about two blocks. John Charles Demezer noticed them tailing him, so he started walking faster. I would do exactly the same. He noticed that they started gaining on him, so he decided to try and escape these scary guys. If he sped up, went down the stairs to the nearest subway station, he always runs if he notices the train he waited to catch, just as it was waiting for him. Being all scared and shit, this was a blessing, or so he thought, he decided to run for it. The three scary guys were really close behind him at this point. One of them almost damaged. He managed to jump out of the way and open the doors of the train. Out of sheer panic, he tripped. This is why the three guys got a hold of him. I assure you, Brazilian men can run really fast. Then, after holding him down on the floor, he got shot five times at point blank. Three shots were in the head. Witnesses were in shock about seeing this. I'm sorry, Sean. I'm not not for one minute have I believed other stories, the later appearing on this. I mean, come on. His coat was a fleece jacket and seemed somewhat padded. This was the gossip that got changed to wearing a huge winter jacket. Really, give us a break. When things like this occur, you need to really have three video recorders taping several channels, and you have to have the radio and BBC on one and local news on stations on the other. That way, you can find out the truth. My conclusion is, when do the public executions begin?
Well, that is a very different story.
Well, you know, this is just it, you know. The story I have and the story everybody else has, there are a million different fucking stories. So what's the truth, right? You know, I mean, people say, Sean said he was happy the guy got shot. Yeah, that's right. That's what I said. I said I would have hammered the guy. I'm not happy that an innocent man got killed, you know. But if I'm a cop, there's a guy running into a train station wearing a heavy winter jacket and a backpack, and I say stop, and he doesn't stop, and I shoot him, that's a totally different story than the story we're getting here.
Exactly.
So what's the truth? Isn't any of this on camera? This is one of the reasons why, if cameras are put everywhere, maybe it's not such a bad idea, because it all has to be open, though.
Exactly, so it's verifiable.
So that everyone can see what does the tape say? What does the tape say? And then from there, it's right in the open. But the problem is transparency.
There's no transparency. They're not releasing the videotape of this, obviously.
Obviously not, because who knows what it's going to show. And when they don't release it, that's when you know.
Rumors are flying.
There's a problem. So God only knows what the truth is. Maybe one day it will show up. Dear Sean, this is an opinion piece. I've discovered some really odd things. For instance, according to my City of Seattle Municipal Code, it is illegal for a minor to purchase a dangerous knife, a knife longer than 3.5 inches. But it is perfectly legal to purchase a firearm. It is unlawful for a person knowing to do sell and blah, blah, blah. This is the law here. The Washington State Concealed Knife Washington State Concealed Weapon Permit is only for a concealed pistol license. It states simply that you are licensed to carry a concealed pistol, State of Washington, not a knife. Why is it that the government is so afraid of knives but not pistols? I mean, to encourage packing guns or knives, this just makes no sense. I could take out twice as many people, probably twice as fast, with a pistol than with a knife. Shooting someone is impersonal. All you're doing is pulling the trigger. Stabbing someone takes a whole lot more. Guns are by far superior killing machines, by far a more dangerous weapon, and I can't comprehend why there are stricter laws on knives than on guns. Perhaps you have some ideas. Well, you know, the laws just haven't been made yet, and there's probably a lot more problems with people shooting people than there are people knifing people, so probably that hasn't shown up a whole lot. It's just a whim law that they can enforce. You
right.
Know, people with guns, I mean, it's a lot more expensive for a gun. Like, to get a gun is at least a couple
hundred
bucks. Not as common as knives. So perhaps this is a whim law method of, you know, getting more people in jail. It's another way that they can put people in there. But personally, don't think for a moment that knives are, like, totally ineffective. There's drills that are taught which show how you can close with a guy who's got a pistol inside of 50 feet and take him out using dispatch knife techniques.
Now you're talking to me today about this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's whole...
I was baffled. Like, what's the big deal about knives?
Well, knives are a very deadly weapon. I mean, the thing about a knife is you can, realistically, you got to bear in mind that knives ruled the planet for a couple thousand years there before guns came along. So knives are very, very effective. And anybody who doesn't believe that, go check out, like, any of Keating's stuff or any of the other, there's lots of knife websites and knife tactical usage out there. I mean, knives are a very deadly weapon. And I'm sure that I would probably get an ocean of emails saying, no, dude, you need to look at knives, because knives really are, at the end of of the day, when you run out of bullets, all you got's a really fancy club.
And by extension, swords.
And by
Because the blade is longer.
Blade is longer, but a knife is far more concealable.
Oh, extremely, yeah.
Extremely. So, and plus, I would argue that knives are easier to use indoors, in close quarters, and in urban settings than swords are. Unless you do the really cool, I'm going to stand up and, you know, do the Highlander thing on the rooftops.
Right. And knives are like stab go. Nobody even knows what happened.
Yeah, don't
You can't tell who fired because it's a knife.
And not only that, you can cut somebody and be gone in a crowd. Like, that shit happens.
And they won't even know who did it. Like,
exactly.
Even the guy who got stabbed won't know who did it.
Yeah, so that's why there's so much shit about the knife. On to the news. In military abuse news, and this was sent in from K9. Maxim Buchin, this is from Russia, was the ideal recruit to the Russian army. From the age of 12, he sang along to tapes and songs of their campaigns in Chechnya and Afghanistan and dreamed of joining the special forces to defend the motherland. But last year, after he said a goodbye to his tearful mother, Olga, he became a conscript. His decapitated body was returned to her after joining the army. Maxim had never set foot in a war zone. Instead, he was one of hundreds of conscripts who die in non-combat related incidents in the Russian army every year. The most called up, the most recent call up having ended on June 30th. About 350,000 men aged 18 to 27 are annually called up for 2 years' service, but according to the Defense Ministry, 90.5% avoid or delay the draft. In wealthy Moscow, the figures rise to 97%. Only the poor serve.
Oh.
The most conscripts fall victim to Dedovishchina, the rule of the grandfathers, apparently it's called, a vicious code of bullying and subservience that pervades the Russian army. We got this in Canada, too. The whole thing is called, it's actually known as, it's no real name for it, but it's like the Old Boys Club, the Old Boys Network. We also called it the Newfie Mafia, because it was always the Newfoundlanders who got in there, and because there's no work in Newfoundland, so all the Newfoundlanders got in there, joined the army, and they racked out, and they got, like, huge medals and gongs, and now, unless you're from Newfoundland, you're not getting nowhere in the Canadian Army. Oh, incidentally, if you play hockey, oh, well, shit, you don't have to do a goddamn thing, because Newfies love hockey. That's their whole religion, right? So, if you're a hockey player, well, it's a good life in the Canadian Armed Forces, let me tell you. But now, you know, when they're actually being asked to do soldierly duties, well, this is nothing more than what you see in any military service where you have the old boys club. And unfortunately, there is a lot of young soldiers, very keen soldiers. Maybe some of these kids are wide-eyed, bushy-tailed, but it's no reason to just totally brutalize and abuse someone just because they actually wish to serve their country. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, a certain degree of abuse is necessary in training. A certain degree of, you know, that whole, you know, get up and yell at you and stuff like that, because you're going to send these guys into areas where there's going to be dead burnt bodies and shit like that.
They're going to deal with a lot worse.
They're going to be dealing with a lot of stress, but I think the method of, like, beasting troops and stuff like that, I think that's going to change, because the intelligence level of the recruit has increased so highly now that the recruit of today was the officer of 50 years ago. So the general Thrud, the barbarian recruit, who was like, I was a fisherman or whatever, you know, these kind of folks who maybe didn't have the education level, well, they're not so common in the army anymore.
Right.
And they resent the shit out of people who've got any kind of post-secondary education or they're honor students or whatever. And so the whole mandate of how soldiers have to think, operate, and exist is changing as well. Technology is favoring the intelligent soldier, because when you look at all the technology and weapons that are available right now, you can't have some, you know, grade 7 dropout manning this multi-million dollar high-speed equipment. They've got to know their shit.
And it's high-tech.
So it's a problem. What this is, these are essentially military growing pains, and it kind of actually makes me feel a little bit better, because I got beasted when I was in. I've never geeked myself, but a guy on my course tried to chew his hands off to commit suicide. True story.
Whoa.
His name was Yule.
Whoa.
But yeah, that was in 94. So, and I knew guys that one woman left because of suicide wash. Another guy tried to chew his hands off. You know, I mean, it's a rough go back then, you know, and there's problems that happen like that. Hammer was there. Evil Vossenary was there, and they backed me up on this shit. They know what the hell I'm talking about. So, you know, this kind of abuse, that has to change in the military, especially if we wish to keep employing soldiers rather than just thugs. So, speaking of the end of the thugs, the IRA, this is a great news story. This should be front page all over the world. The IRA has formally ordered an end to its armed campaign and says it will pursue exclusively peaceful means.
Wow.
This is huge.
Big turnaround.
This is huge. This has been going on forever. This has been going on for like 400 100 fucking years. In a long-awaited statement, the Republican organization said it would follow a Democratic path ending more than 30 years of violence. Yeah, far more than 30 years of violence. Sinn Féin President Gerry Adams said the move was courageous and was a courageous and confident initiative, and that the movement and that the moment must be seized. Prime Minister Tony Blair said it was a step of unparalleled magnitude, which is true.
Wow, that's a big statement.
Yeah, considering that the guy from England are like, thank you, God, for doing this.
Because the IRA are really good at what they do.
Yeah.
It is what we have striven for and worked for throughout the 8 years since the Good Friday Agreement, he said. The IRA made its decision after an international debate prompted Mr. Adams' call in April to pursue goals exclusively through politics. Now, and the article goes on, blah, 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 blah. The Mr. Adams said the Thursday statement was, quote, defining point in the search for lasting peace with justice, end quote, and presents challenges for others. It means that unionists who are for the Good Friday Agreement must end their ambivalence, he said. Now, what this actually is saying is that the IRA has gone, wow, you know what? If I so much as shit or go blind, if I open my mouth on any level and cause any problems, the SAS are going to come in here and they're going to fucking clean house. Because right now, the world political view, like the IRA gets a lot of its money from America. Don't ever shit yourself. Because the Irish in New York and stuff like that, I mean, they come down here and they think that, you know, the Irish are fighting for their independence, just like America was fighting for its independence. We wish to be free of British rule, all that good shit, blah, 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 blah. Now, when the leaders of 16 were executed back in the day with the IRA, okay, those men, okay, who were murdered were mostly scholars. Okay, these people were, there's a lot of shit going on between Britain and Ireland, okay? And it goes way back, all kinds of hatred. And you gotta bear in mind that Britain were the guys who invented the concentration camp. Don't ever shit yourself. They were doing medical experiments on Irish in Port Arthur in Australia. Was it Australia or New Zealand? I can't remember. But in Port Arthur, it's either in Aussie or Kiwi. There's a place down there where they're doing medical experiments at the turn of the century on convicts. Okay?
Wow.
Yeah. Now, this is not commonly known. It's not commonly known that the potato famine was a lie. Total fraud. Fabrication of history. Didn't exist.
Really?
Didn't exist. Well, yeah, there was a famine, you know, and there was a plague that hit the potatoes. But nobody knows that Britain exported more food from Ireland during that famine than in any time before or after in history.
So it could have been hell.
Well, dude, they took all the food away.
Wow.
They exported food from Ireland, so there's no food in Ireland. And
genocidal?
All the people starved. Yeah, it was genocide. So, you know, when you're looking at this, of course, the Irish are a little cheesed about that. You know, they kind of got long-term memories going on there.
They remember that. Yeah.
You betcha. You betcha. So the thing is I believe that this whole move by the IRA, although very positive and I'm happy there's no bombs going off, and further to that, the IRA of today are fucking thugs. Okay, they're guys who don't want jobs. Okay, it's a far cry. The IRA of 50 years ago is not the IRA of today. The IRA of today is a bunch of fucking back-shooting psychos.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So it's a far cry to think when everyone says the IRA, they think of, you know, Michael Collins and those movies and stuff like that where there's very romantic imagery of these, you know, rebels and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
But now, the terrorism of today for the IRA, they're scumbags. They really are scumbags and they are terrorists and they do need to be stopped.
Yeah.
You know, that said, I am concerned that once everything calms back down again, that maybe it might flare up over there again. Here's hoping not, because it'd be nice just to see an end to the violence and moving right along with this crap.
Maybe they'll get used to it being nice and peaceful and then...
I don't know, man. If you were just going to Ireland and start handing out ID cards and biometrics, I betcha you're going to see some shit go on.
Tempers flare a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. The ski masks are coming out if that stuff starts happening. Now, in digital rights news, listen to this one. Plans are being drawn up to create UK organizations that fights to preserve digital rights and freedoms. This is very cool. Finally, in the UK Gaelic Escape, there is a movement to create like a British EFF, Electronic Frontier Foundation.
Good.
Very, very cool. If created, the group would campaign to preserve the freedom people have to use digital media and act as a coordinator for other cyber rights groups. Already, almost 500 people have backed a pledge to regularly donate cash to the organization to keep it running. Very, very cool.
And very nice.
And if you're a UK listener, because I know there's a bunch of them over there that are, you should definitely look into backing something like this. Do some research. Make sure that I'm not lying to you here. Make sure that I'm not been fed bad intel and that these guys are just looking for a handout of cash. But, you know, do your research, check it out, and then back these guys if it's legit, because this is a good bet for you guys. But the plan, apparently, has been criticized by other net activists who feel there are more pressing problems to tackle, such as the idea to set up a group emerged at the OpenTech 2005 conference held in London on the 23rd of July. So this is pretty recent.
This is new,
pretty relevant stuff. One panel session at the conference lamented the lack of a UK group that campaigned on the net, and digital rights issues have always been the way the U.S. Electronics Frontier Foundation manages. So it's essentially, exactly, it's a UK.
It is, and I think the UK does need this.
Are you fucking right? They do need something. They got nothing over there. Among other campaigns, the EFS has fought the entertainment industry's attempts to limit what people can do with digital media, wholly, given advice to workers to write their own weblogs, wholly, and shaped... and helped shape e-voting policies. Again, you know, massive, huge, influential shit here.
Like, oh, yeah.
These guys, the EFF.
They're great.
You know, if anyone wants to donate money and you don't think I'm cool enough to donate money to keep me on the air, for God's sakes, donate to the EFF because those people, you know,
they'll help you out in a time of crisis.
They are the oh shit magnet right there, man. Yeah. You know, oh, man, you know, it's one of those things a lot of people say, man, I wish I could donate. I wish I could donate. And I really do because they are an outstanding organization. Building on the interest on settling such a group, net activist Danny O'Brien created a pledge on the Pledge Bank website that aims to give fledglings group a solid financial foundation. So there's, and that's a link to off of my LiveJournal site, of course, where you can go and follow that news
right,
link up.
But make sure you check it out. Make sure it's legit.
Yes.
And they're actually doing good stuff.
Yes, because we don't know who's running this. This is very, very fresh. It's coming off the press for you.
They may not be organized yet.
Yeah, so we don't
fall apart.
So don't go throwing money around until they get their shit together. Once they get their shit together, yeah, you can give her a go. You know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now, this is going to make Sim's head fall off and roll around the floor. In gaming news, and this was sent to me by Nightfall Gemini, this is kind of a scary story here. The Wall Street Journal, who sent me that last one? I haven't been doing very many names. Let's see,
no.
K9 sent me the last few. And then the next one in gaming news was sent from Nightfall Gemini. Now, this, at first, doesn't sound like a big deal, but when you listen to it, this is just staggering to me. I think that if this is found in any video game, the video game should not only not be purchased, but it should definitely be, you should do anything you can to discourage this activity. The Wall Street Journal has a news story on Massive Inc.'s new in-game advertising, which are going beyond static images. Now, normally you'd run around the game and you see an ad for a car on a billboard or something
that. Yeah.
So what? It's a city game. You know, there's ads in the city, whatever.
True.
Anarchy Online is the first game to be app. Anarchy Online. Anarchy Online. This is fucking unbelievable to me. Anarchy Online. Oh, God. The fact this is happening with Anarchy Online first, it's almost... I'm going to puke. Anarchy Online is the first game to be updated... updated, you like that spin? With full motion and sound ads, which will be run for about 15 seconds. Massive only charges advertisers if people actually watch the full ad.
Oh, nice.
Which are activated when a player comes close to an advertising spot in the game. The introduction of full motion ads on games give advertisers more options. Massive's Mr. Davis says Hollywood movie studios have shown particular interest in running 15-second movie trailers in online games. Mr. Rich says Paramount may be interested in such ads, but emphasizes the content of any such ad shouldn't turn off gamers. .. What the fuck does that mean? Massive says its technology works for both online games and consoles, but hasn't yet negotiated a deal allowing for ad insertion in console games. Mr. Davis says he hopes to strike console game deals soon. Edward Williams, managing director at Harris Nesbitt E. Now, of course, well, games, any video game you play, has a, you know, you go through a certain format, you know, like a Deus Ex or whatever. You
right.
have to go... kill this guy, you know, get this part, get this key, whatever, go down the hallway.
Yep.
So, often, you know, in order to get to the next level, you'd have to go to a certain point in the game. So,
right.
naturally, these points, there's going to be advertising spots which you have
these
to pass
points,
through.
Yeah,
where you have to get through to get to the, you know, the thing.
Yep.
So, what happens here is you're walking along, you're playing your game, you're all in momentum, all of a sudden, dun-da-da-da, before you carry on. Are you thirsty right now? Would you like a fizzy pop? Because if you want a fizzy pop, nothing goes down like fizzy pop. Fizzy pop is fucking cool, shoot people by, you know. And that's what they do, you know. And this is going to be dancing at you and all this good shit. And you're having to sit through this 15-second segment. Dude, like, if... Oh, my God. That, to me...
This is mass desensitization
this
by
is,
corporations.
It's offensive. This is an offensive concept. The whole idea
offensive.
Is just sick. Yeah. I can't believe that they're going to be doing this. It's just out of control.
I guess they've declared movies a success with the ads they run in the beginning as people aren't stopping going to the movie theaters by with all these, I don't know, 20 minutes of ads in before it.
Wow.
So they're like, oh, might as well advertise everywhere. People are ready for it.
Like, there's a reason to rip off movies right there so you don't have to watch the ads in the beginning. You know, if you stop putting ads on, we'll stop stealing movies. How's that for a deal? You into that? You know? Oh, you don't want to do it because you don't think we have any leverage, because that's what the internet gives us. It gives us leverage, and you want to remove that.
They'll still go to the movies.
They'll still go to the movies. That's why I still haven't seen Star Wars. Okay. And in 7-7 news, you like that? That's the new nickname. The British bombing is now the 7-7. Yeah.
That's catchy.
Sent in by Dark Nature. Now, what did the guy from the Netherlands said? He said a fleece jacket, right?
No backpack.
No backpack and a fleece jacket.
Fleece jacket.
Right.
Not running.
That's right. Well, apparently, according to this fucking story, John Charles Mendez, the Brazilian shot dead in the head, was not wearing a heavy jacket that might have concealed the bomb. Now, there's another disinformation story, and did not jump the ticket barrier when challenged by an armed claims closed police. His cousin said yesterday, speaking at a press conference after meeting with the Metropolitan Police, Vivian Figueiredo, 22, said that the first reports showed her 27-year-old cousin had come to be killed as a mistake of a suicide bomber on Friday and a Stockwell tube station were wrong. He used a travel card, she said. He had no bulky jacket. He was wearing a jean jacket. But even if he was wearing a bulky jacket, that would not be an excuse to kill him. Okay, bitch. You just said he's not wearing a bulky jacket. He was wearing a jean jacket. But even if he was wearing a bulky jacket, dude. Wait. Were you in the subway? Did you see what jacket he was wearing? It's nice you're his cousin, but that doesn't make you his fucking tailor, okay? Nobody knows what the fucking guy was wearing because we haven't got any camera. The only people who know what this guy was wearing was the people who shot the guy dead. Now, I do not believe that MI5 operatives held a man down and put 5 in his cranium.
While holding him down,
shoot this fucking guy 5 times in the head in front of onlookers.
And cameras.
These people are way too trained.
You think they might want to just interrogate him?
You know, like, where's the motive? They were just excited. Fuck off! If they're MI5 and they know what they're doing, they want to get this guy, they're going to skin him alive. They will torture him through the floor. They will know what dress size he wore when he was 6. Okay, I'm here to tell you, they will know everything about this guy. So the last thing they're going to want to do is to shoot him.
They want info.
Who
are you with?
They believed he was a bomber. They had a reason to believe he was a bomber. Somebody had to make a call. They made the call, and they dropped his ass. And I'm willing to bet I'm going to stand by the cops on this one. I'm willing to bet that if we had all the info that they had, they would have chose to shoot him as well. They shot the guy 5 times in the head. Now, I bet you that wasn't all from one gun. I bet you the order came down to take him out, and 5 guys opened fire, and I bet you there's 5 different bullets in Buddy's head. There's no single cop going to drop 5 rounds in a guy's head. Bang, 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 bang. Like, dude, how do you shoot somebody in the head 5 times?
In front of tons and tons of other people
in the
subway.
Wouldn't the head come apart? I mean, yeah. You know, your head can only take so much kinetic trauma. You know, especially at point-blank range. You fucking hammer some guy 5, I don't care if it's a 9mm.
Closed casket.
You know, seriously. You know, the head's fucking gone. You can't shoot somebody in 5 times in the head with a 12-gauge. So, I don't know. And, you know, a lot of these rounds these guys are using over there, they're AP rounds. They're meant to cut through armor and shit. They're hot loads. You know, it's something the whole thing.
And would you be firing into his head while your buddies are holding him down right next to him?
You know, the last thing you're going to want to do when a bunch of guys are holding him down is just rip loose with the gun spray. You know, oh, hang on, Jerry. Bang, bang, bang. I'm fucking standing here.
Watch for the ricochet.
What are you doing, Ray? Don't cut loose with the MP5 when I'm holding the fucking guy.
I'm right here.
I'm right here. Do you not see me here, Ray? Sorry, man.
And it's fucking loud, too.
You know, and you know, it's pretty hard to get at that job in the UK. So, personally, you know, nobody knows what the fuck's going on. Nobody knows what this guy's wearing. Massive disinformation campaign from the people who invented the disinformation campaign. So until we know what the hell is going on, I don't know. But it doesn't make sense to me. What's the cop's motive? Why would they just murder this guy for no reason? Because he was brown. I'm sorry, that doesn't buy it. That's not going to wash with me, okay? I believe the cops over there made a call. Maybe it was a bad call, and now they're trying to save face. But it was a bad call, but still, they're trying to do their job. Now, we got some serious cyberpunk kit for you this morning. In following that, this may be poor taste.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
But Smith & Wesson just came out with a brand new pistol, which is really hot. Smith & Wesson, the legendary 153-year-old firearms maker, has unveiled the new model 460 XVR, Extreme Velocity Revolver. And they capitalized the X because it was there.
Extreme.
You know, because Smith & Wesson's getting its ass handed to it in the automated firearm. Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
They
Smith
& Wesson. Something really good.
Yeah, they're really getting fucked over. So what they've done is rather than trying to take on the engineering market of the guns, because realistically, I would argue that
probably Europe is making the best automatic handguns right now. Like, oh yeah, don't even, like, Heckler and Koch, you can't fuck with those guys, okay? But anyway, they're going back to the revolver, and revolvers are more reliable than any automatic. I don't
care. Really?
Yes, they are, because I don't care. Glocks are hot. Yeah, we love them. But it's a matter of the physical way that the revolver works makes it more reliable. But anyhow, and I'm not gonna answer any emails. Anyone wants to argue me on that, I just know that, okay? That's what I believe. You don't agree with me, good for you. I like Glocks. If I was going to buy a gun, I wouldn't buy one of these. I'd buy probably a Glock or a USP, probably a Mark 29. But anyway, the highest velocity production revolver in the world is this new one, so that's why it set a world's record. Apparently, with a muzzle velocity of 2,300 feet per second, you can zero the sights of the 460 XVR and hit dead center from 250 meters with no holdover.
250 meters is a long way.
That is a long shot and too far to shoot with a pistol. Yeah. The new US $1,250 revolver holds 5 shots and uses the same X-frame as the 500 Smith & Wesson and has an 8 and 3-inch barrel and a removable compensator. It weighs 73 ounces and it's a 45 caliber. It was one of the new of the 14 new Smith & Wesson products at the 2005 Shooting, Hunting, and Outdoor Shot Trade Show held last week in Las Vegas, Nevada. So that's very good, cool, and I think that's neat. I mean, it is the most production, powerful, hypervelocity revolver made.
Yep.
So very, very cool. I like that a lot. Now, I've got two pieces for dog owners out there. This is really cool. Two pieces of Cyberpunk kit for the dog owner that everybody knows and loves.
You don't get that too often.
No, you don't. No, you don't. The first one was sent in from Samurai Girl,
ooh,
who we love, know and love,
yep,
because she's cool. And this is the covert canine augmentation.
Covert?
Yeah, this one here is the covert one, which I have completely fucked up. 1 second for me. There it is, I got it. Okay, good. It's what it is that this piece of kit is a new invention called Snip. Now, this is kind of fucked up, but here we go. Social Networking and Fur. This whole thing sounds very San Francisco.
What
to
a
me.
Cute acronym.
Totally cute. And may provide the answer of the future. The digital dog collar allows dog owners to record the activity of their canines and to monitor when and where their pals, quote unquote, are walking. A tiny computer and communication device built into a dog collar, said Noah Fields, a graduate student from the physical language workshop at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology in Cambridge. Fields, who created Sniff along with 3 other students, described it as mood rings meets instant messaging for your dog. Wow, how much grass were you smoking, pal? The technology, he says, will also give dog owners a chance to pet work or network with their pets.
Cute.
That's
isn't
so
that
cute.
Cool?
The students created the device as part of MIT lab class, which were asked to come up with user-friendly computer tools. Most of us have dogs when we were growing up, and I've had many a dog in my life, Fields said. When we were working on the project, though, we were all students and none of us were living with dogs. The collar, now in prototype, has a variety of sensors that record the dog's interaction with other dogs and is equipped with technology. Also, an owner can single out friends or foes by pushing buttons on the leash during a dog encounter. So if you meet another dog who happens to have this, you can listen, this dog and the other dog don't get along, so you mark it.
Okay.
And then when you're walking and it goes, you're approaching an enemy dog. The enemy dog is getting close. And then you'd be like, quickly,
room, man.
Throw on the restraint system, because this is for all the people who are very worried about their dogs. Now, personally, that's kind of covert, you know, and that's from Samurai Girl. It's very good.
Cool.
You know?
Could be cool. Could be cool.
Now, I would stipulate, you know, I would state that if you cannot control your animal at all, any animal you own, you should not be out in public with it. Furthermore, if you believe that your animal is a threat to any person or any property or being or even another dog, you should destroy the animal. Period. Like, if you cannot control the animal and the animal can kill people, put the dog down.
Because it's dangerous.
It is a weapon, especially if you're running any of the old Meloster breeds, you know, Mastiffs, Preza Canario, you know, whatever. Any of these, you know, bully breeds that are out there, you've got to make sure that you have control of your animal. And if you don't have the time, and who the fuck does, if you don't have time, unless you work at home, you probably shouldn't be owning one of these dogs unless you have the time. You have someone.
They're a lot of work.
Who they are? I mean, I'm 2 hours a day, and like the range man here. Look at him. Oh, he looks so sad right now. Look at him.
Oh,
ranger dog. But I mean, it's a lot of work to own these dogs.
Yeah,
you know. So I don't think the answer. This is for like Fru Fru, the little Chihuahua dog.
Oh yeah.
Not a lot of friendly with him.
Not a lot of walk dogs going to be using this kind of technology.
No.
What they're going to be using is the overt canine augmentation that got sent to me, but from, ironically enough, canine.
Oh.
Canine Storm Vest. Yes.
Storm Vest.
Let's take tactical doggy armor with Kevlar plating, make it mountable for webbing, and then make it for dogs.
Webbing.
Yes, it is tactical webbing for animals. Canine Storm Vest is constructed with load-bearing harness system, which allows a dog to wear the vest comfortably for tackling, or pardon me, for tracking. It'll also tackle. And you don't believe me, go check out that German dog video that's floating around the web. For tracking, searches, and rappelling. You can also, they set a world's record for an airdrop where they've got oxygen tank systems to airdrop in with your dog.
Dog rappelling.
Fuck yeah. Oh yeah, baby. Oh yeah, that's what they should be using in Iraq. I don't know why nobody's doing it. They ought to be taking these dogs and dropping them into Iraq. You got to ferret people out? Fucking right.
Dog will do it.
Dog will do it. They'll do it a shitload better than these robots. We'll send in the robots and the dogs. You know what
see
I mean?
See who goes faster.
Oh, yeah. You see, they're going to have to shoot the dog. And those dogs, yeah. I mean, they're going to move like a mofo. Like, I don't know why. There's a great book. I should give out the ISBN number. It's called Combat Dogs. And they talk about this, the role of combat dogs in Vietnam. I mean, it was staggering. They couldn't sneak up on them. They had almost a supernatural ability to detect ambushes.
Wow.
Yeah, it was so bad that guys wouldn't go out on patrol unless they had the dog.
Can we have the dog?
No, then fuck you. We're not going on patrol. That's how it is, because they never got bumped when they had these dogs. So dogs are really underutilized in the military mindset. I don't know why. Probably because they're expensive to maintain and they do take a lot
don't
of work.
Don't kill the dogs.
Yeah, they don't.
But kill the humans.
Oh, no, no, no. After Vietnam, they left all the dogs there. They left all the dogs they used in Vietnam and they sold them to the Vietnamese and they killed and ate the American trained dogs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, oh, yeah. They left them all there to die. Yeah, no, no,
that's
who
not
gives
very
a fuck?
Good.
Well, that's no. What's worse is all the soldiers they left in Vietnam to die. Who they didn't give a fuck because you know Vietnam. We owed them some money. We said fuck you, and they said fuck you. Then we're keeping your soldiers and we'll torture them to death.
I see.
Yeah, that's what that whole thing was there. Yeah, not so good. But anyway,
yeah.
For those operators out there that are you know have a dog, they'd be all about this. It's expensive though. It's like $2,000.
Well, yeah. If you're rappelling with your dog, yeah, you got some money.
Well,
anyway.
It's
you got
not
the helicopter
worth $2,000. I
lot.
Mean, I could make a fucking system like this.
How much are human ones?
Not $2,000. I'll tell you that.
Wow.
I could get myself a pretty fucking nice set of body armor for $2,000. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, like buying a bra. A lot of money, not a lot of fabric.
Yeah.
First time over the wall, this is a story of one dog here. Falco went willingly, but the third time the dog wasn't happy about it, having his feet swayed off the ground, and a small protest ensued. The dog's like, fuck you, I'm not jumping over this building. With patience, Officer Gage coaxed Falco. Falco, ruck me, Emma Davis.
Push.
Falco was selected as a tactical dog after a long search. A different personality and temperament was required for a SWAT tactical canine as compared to patrol canines. The dog must be aggressive yet stable and sociable. Like my dog, Ranger.
Yeah.
He'd be a great tactical dog.
When action is called for.
You betcha. He's a push dog, though. He's not really an urban dog. Tactical dogs must respond to nonverbal commands, such as pointings, and obey commands for more than one officer when determining the difference between officers and suspects.
That's true, yeah.
The dogs must be comfortable around automatic rifle fire, as well as unique movements of a SWAT officer.
That takes a very special dog.
It takes a very special, very well-trained dog.
Yes.
Yes. Now, if me, personally, if I was going to go for the new walk dog, you know, I'm a big fan of the Pound Rescue.
Oh,
huge
yeah.
fan of the Pound Rescue. You know what I mean? So if you go to get any of the, I'm the biggest
Usually
believer.
The mutts are very stable.
Oh, any dog that's been crossed.
Yep.
Any dog that you cross. Now, what I'd like to see is like a mix. You know, I like the, like mine's a pointer pit bull cross.
Yep.
You know, and he's a fantastic dog. Everyone's ever met has loved the dog. Yep. Great dog. Does
it's
his
funny
job.
When he points too. It's like, oh, my
oh
God.
Yeah, and he points and he'll go to the bush and if he sees something, he doesn't bark like no combat dog should. He just indicates where which direction it is.
Good.
And he's like, yo, my trace. And
over here.
He gives me hand signs and he keys the mic two times. He can trip claymores. He's very cool. But so that's something you got to look at with the dogs. You know, you got to make sure that you kit them out right because if you put all this training into dogs, they get shot and die.
That's right.
So buy an extra $2,000, you bet. I would go and drop some money and get my dog some armor.
Yeah.
On to some daily hacks. Today we got some freeware games from the Boon. And this is a cool website. Freeware games
cool.
including GTA, Doom, totally free. And why not listen to a free newsreel and get some free bragging in. As well, I've got some information on getting around the Windows security check from Nightfall Gemini. If you want to do this, all you have to do is go to your control panel, click on Internet Options, click on the Programs tab, and then click on the Programs tab. Then click on Manage Add-ons tab. You then see a list of add-ons that are enabled. Scroll down till you see the Windows Genuine Advantage. Click on it and select Disable and click OK. Then close all your browsers if you had any open. Then click the Start menu and click on the Windows Update. This should work until Microsoft realizes this, which is very cool.
And that was hacked within 24 hours.
Yes, it
by
was.
The way.
Thanks for coming out. There's also another link on how to get around that on the website.
Yep.
Another Big Brother petition has come out, and this is a global one. And by signing this petition, which you can get to from the webpage, you're stating that I believe that data retention is an invasive tool that interferes with private lives of everyone. This is the ability to hold on to your emails, and basically this is a petition against governments holding your information and monitoring what you're doing. So very, very bad. You want to sign this petition. Although it's a petition, may not do much, but it is a good thing to do. Have you got anything else?
No, I'm done.
You're done? Good.
Oh, no. The Rant Media Audio Archives came out.
Did they?
Last week. Yeah, it's everything non-show related.
Right.
It's all your rants, all the extra bonus stuff. It's awesome. All the interviews. So you can grab that from the site.
You betcha. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to let you make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. Now, we're going to change the way we're doing donations now, and a lot of people are going to get pissed off about this, but listen up. The reason why is because rather than me reading off the same list of names 30 times every month, I'd rather take that time and give you more news. You'll notice that this is a long show because we've been able to do more dialogue. And so rather than explaining all the functions, we're going to be calling out the number of donators and the number of new donators. It's honest to God. It's a news show. We should have news on the show. Sam, you got anything to add to that or what?
No, it's good.
Pretty much the way it is. And out of all the thousands of people who donate, or pardon me, thousands of people who listen, we have 71 people donating right now, and 5 more new people donated this month.
That's awesome.
And if you donate just to have your name read out on the show, you're donating for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
You honestly are. That's not meant as a slight. That's not meant as any kind of a diss or anything like that. It's just that, honestly, thank you. If you donate, thank you. And it is its own reward, I suppose. You are making a difference and you are funding us. And there's 71 donators for July. We got 5 new people. And you know what? I appreciate it, but I'd like to bring you more news and less just bullshit me talking at the beginning and end of every show.
Exactly. News is better.
You betcha. If you would like to help this daily broadcast, though, and keep it on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the donate tab, as every little bit helps. And we're almost out of books, too, eh?
Yeah, it's almost gone.
Almost gone. So if you
want one of those books.
Because I have no intention of doing another printing. So if you want to get one of the first 250 books, and they are all numbered and are all signed by myself, and you'd like to get one for posterity after I get assassinated, it'll be worth money.
That's right. Doubles in value after Sean's gone.
You betcha. And thanks again to everyone, their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any of your pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's NEWSREAL at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album by Biot called Saturation.
Yes.
I'm going to leave you now with a track by Green Day called Holiday, and I advise you that you listen to the words. So until tomorrow, that's what Server said. End of line.